Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Thursday, January 6th, 2022. Welcome to Menace in the Morning with myself, Zach Smith, and Chris Drew. We welcome you. We're trying to start your day. A little late today. We had some internet issues, but still be out by 10:30. That was my promise when we started, and we have yet to miss a day and be later than 10:30, Chris, especially if you have Patreon. If you guys don't know about it, patreon.com/menacetosports. For $5 a month, you can, one, support the show. That's the biggest thing, right? You help us increase revenue and grow this platform. And two, you get a badass custom RSS feed. So when I post a show, or when we post a show and we release it, the first place it goes is Patreon, and that goes immediately to your phone. There's no lag, no delay. Then when we actually post the show to the public, which is right after Patreon, it takes like a good 30 minutes for it to hit Apple, hit Spotify, and Spotify takes longer. I don't even know how long Spotify takes because I don't even check that. But if you want that VIP RSS feed, go to patreon.com/menacetosports, $5 a month, sign up and get the feed. Just wanted to throw that out there. I'm not even trying to sell you. It's convenient. And for $5 a month, you can't beat it. So anyways, enough about that. Before we get started, we got to get this board filled up. I think about halfway full, which means the contest is a go. We have enough money to cover the payouts. So now, every square we sell will be money in our charity. So go to Venmo, Cameron Media, $100 a square. You get a square for the national championship game. You will have a single digit for the winning score, single digit for the losing score. If the scores end in your digits, winning score, losing score, you win. First quarter, you win $500. Halftime, $1,000. Third quarter, $500. And if you hit the final score, you win $3,000. So someone is making some money on January 10th. And we're really excited to do it. So anyways, if you're interested in playing, you can email me, Zach@MenaceToSports. We need to fill that board up. We have 4 days left, really five, today and the 10th. So 5 days left to sell 50 squares, 10 a day. So let's hit 10 today. If you haven't bought a square, be one of the 10. Help us out. but anyways, Chris, how's it going, man?
Oh, it's going real well. We got a lot of pro talk on the show today, but I do want to open up with some college stuff. Something that we totally missed yesterday, just forgot to talk about because, you know, we were busy. Brian Kelly finally got on stage and addressed what was indeed a fake accent. He's been caught red-handed. Is this a W or an L, him admitting it was fake?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's you know, coming from my stance on life and how I operate, I guess it is, I would have never done it in the first place, but at least he owned it. He didn't just try to sweep it under the rug, move on and not address it. Cause it was so absurd that he had to address it. But he said something when he said, well, you know, I'm from Boston and we don't have accents in Boston. And I was like, what? You don't have accents in Boston. Boston has one of the thickest, most notable accents in the country. And believe it, they actually say, and I believe this, I'm from Ohio, that people in Ohio and Midwesterners are actually the only people that don't have accents. There's a Boston accent. There's a Southern accent. There's a West Coast accent. There's obviously every different country in the world when they speak English, they have some sort of accent. They say Midwesterners actually don't have an accent. So I don't know what he's talking about. Boston doesn't have accents.
He's just a nut and he's wrong. And we'll see. I liked it from him. It showed a little bit of self-awareness because it was a garbage attempt at, you know, family. So we'll see. We'll see if LSU can play. I think it's interesting. On Twitter yesterday, I was in a discussion with somebody about, I mean, Brian Kelly is going to have to kind of build a lot, at least from the transfer portal next year. And then moving forward, they're going to have to get back to recruiting. Speaking of transfers, Buckeye Nation got one yesterday. The kid from Oklahoma State, the safety's coming in.
Huge. I just broke down the Ohio State Buckeyes and the kind of the 2022 preview. And that was one of the things I said, they need to shore up that second safety spot. And obviously never mind that. Not only do they need to do that, but they also need to, there's a chance when you break a leg, and I've talked about this before, like Noah Brown broke his leg, right?
Right.
And he came back and was probably, even though it was a year removed, even though he could run and do everything in the world, he was probably at 80%. Yeah. And you don't get back to your true form for about 2 years. And I had a long conversation with Dallas, the Cowboys receiver coach, when they were going to draft him, because he said the same thing. He was like, we love him. And mainly because we know that the film we're watching right now, it's really good, but he's not 100% still. It takes, their doctors say it takes 2 years to actually be 100% from a broken leg. A true break, not a hairline fracture, but a true clean break. And so Josh Proctor, we don't know what he's going to be next year. So it was a huge get. Tanner McAllister, obviously was a really, really good player for Oklahoma State and Jim Knowles. And, it's a huge need. So I think that was, you talk about a transfer portal move that they needed to do or needed. They need some magic out of the transfer portal, just like Alabama's had and, all these teams have had. So I think it was huge. I think it was huge for next season, and it's huge for momentum, and it's huge for Jim Knowles. He has a guy that's playing safety in the back end that knows his defense and can run it and can teach it, right? He can teach the young kids, and not even the young kids, just the team who have never played in this defense, what the calls are, what to do. I think it's just huge.
Yeah. With Proctor, you don't exactly know what you're going to get from him next year, as well as Ransom being injured as well. This was a position of need, and kind of like my personal transfer portal wants for them would have been in this order: linebacker, safety, and then tight end. And they address the safety and then bringing in someone from Knowles' defense. I think it's big. Something we talked about yesterday is that to win a national title and to be super dangerous, you have to be really good on that back end. And safety, say what you want. Say we're being too hard on Bryson Shaw. The safety play was pretty bad this year, and I think that's universally obvious. And it needs to get better for us to win a national title. And in 2022, we could be a really dangerous team, but we're going to need better safety play.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. And I think you just have to have that, right? We need better safety play and linebacker play to have a championship caliber defense. We're going to have the D line. I think the D line is going to be more impactful this year than ever. And so the corners are locked down. I think it's that middle of the defense, second and third level that needs help, honestly.
Yep. You got to be good up the middle to win stuff. So that's just straight up how it is. I do want to talk about Jimbo Fisher breaking the record. I think they have the best recruiting class of all time now at Texas A&M. Like, they've officially signed it. Like, it's in the history, topping that Urban Meyer class. And here's the number that's being floated around behind it. To pay for this class between boosters, ponied up between $20 and $30 million, Zach. Now that this stuff is unregulated, this could be a trend for them moving the right way if they can sustain it.
Well, that's what it is. And I got to stop saying this because at some point it sounds just cocky or conceited, but this is what I talked about a year ago. Like, this is where it was going to head. It was going to head towards boosters buying recruits. That's what it, the minute it came out, I was like, yeah, this is like, everyone wants to talk about how, these players deserve to be compensated, blah, blah. The problem is they're allowing players to get compensated for nothing. I mean, nothing, right? Just potential, like potentially good players are getting overcompensated, and the market is, overinflated majorly. And it never won't be. I've heard people talk about, the industry will adjust itself. No, it won't. This is about recruiting. They don't care. They don't care for if they've spent $1 million on 25 kids, all 25, as long as 15 of them pan out and work out on the field, that $10 million they wasted is just, it's worth it to them. So this is the new age of college football because the NCAA didn't regulate it. In my opinion, this should be based some form or fashion. I don't think you can do pay to play. I don't think you can put incentives in, like if you're all conference, you get this, or I don't even totally disagree, actually. I mean, at least then players are getting compensated because they are really good players, and there is some value there, right? Like, I think right now kids are getting compensated for nothing, and that's where we're wrong. That's where we're buying players. I do believe that if you allowed compensation for for accolades and for achievement, then mm-hmm. it's at least merit based, and it's not just, you know, hope based, recruiting based. So I'm not really dialed in on what I believe it should be, because honestly, until I'm talking this through right now, I would have said, you know, an hour ago that on-field performance-based incentives is wrong, right, in college football. But as I think about it, like, at least then you're working off of merit, because this shit that Texas A&M just did, I mean, they have like something like 7 5 stars, like just,
yeah, 15 top 100 guys. They have the you know, nationally, Walter Nolan, number 2 player, number 6 player, you know, number 6. I mean, they literally in the top 25 have 5 kids. And I think they have 6 or 7 5 stars. So it's absurd. It's absurd at this point. It's interesting, because like, do you salary cap or NIL cap, you know, per college team to avoid stuff like this in the future? Or do you just, is it just too late? You just got to let it roll.
Well, I mean, the reality is, it's never too late. I mean, they can always change anything, but I mean, there's going to be a residual effect, right? I have no problem with, you know, let's say CJ Stroud getting a major deal, right? Because he has turned himself into a star on the field. Like, that's what this was designed for, right? It was designed for Braxton Miller he is making the university millions of dollars for him to be compensated for what he's doing for the university. That was the point of this, right? Not to pay a kid who doesn't play. Not to pay a kid who has not increased the value for the university. This was all about almost like a revenue share, a revenue split with the players, because they're making the university so much money. Those recruits for Texas A&M haven't done shit for Texas A&M. So why are we allowing them to be compensated? I think the number one thing should be, you cannot get compensated until after your freshman season. That's what because then if you're a good player, if you're on the field, at least then you take away the inflated value of recruits. You don't allow it to be used in recruiting. It can be used as a, like, hey, look, CJ Stroud makes $1.5 million a year. Like, come to Ohio State, and if you work your ass off and become a great player, you will get compensated by businesses. Like, that should be the recruiting pitch, not like, hey, come to Texas A&M, we'll give you $1 million. Like, it's just, it completely undermined this entire thing. And to be honest, it hurts the current players. That's what no one will talk about, right? Mm-hmm. Texas A&M boosters paying $25 million to get those 25 kids to commit and sign with Texas A&M is $25 million out of the pocket of the players that are actually playing and increasing the value of Texas A&M. It's stolen money. It should not be allowed to be used in recruiting. It should be regulated. The NCAA has fucked this up once again. And with Quinn Ewers making $1 million to do nothing, CJ Stroud lost money. And that's not fair. Because CJ Stroud made Ohio State a ton of money, and Quinn Ewers didn't do dick. He didn't do a fucking thing for Ohio State. And it's bullshit. It's complete bullshit. And the NCAA has not only allowed it, they've promoted it.
Yeah, CJ Stroud is the example of what the NIL thing was supposed to look like in a perfect world. You know, starting quarterback for a big-time team, you know, playing really well. You would think that they get all the deals. And what it's turned into is, you know, Quinn Ewers, uber-talented, but it's turned into guys who are elite high school prospects making tons and tons of money for themselves. Right. And it's definitely just such a really nutty landscape. And I'm sure I'm going to dig into that Texas A&M stuff more and try to find out as much as I can and bring it to the table in future shows. A couple people have kind of asked me, DM me, you know, added me on Twitter about receivers, and they wanted me to bring this up with you because obviously, you know, a little bit about receivers. You know, in Ohio, the Browns have the number 13 pick. The perception is that they will go wide receiver, that they need a wide receiver. And, you know, we're kind of starting off draft silly season. And so, Zach, I want to ask you, I'll give you my take. I know we kind of disagree, but I'll let you kind of have the floor. Like, this is whatever, like, this is a debate. Of the receivers, you know, give me your receiver 1, 2, and 3. And who would you draft for the Cleveland Browns at receiver if that's the direction they decide to go?
Well, I mean, obviously, I haven't dove into the draft class. I will in a much greater detail as the draft is closer for the show. But I mean, I have quite a bit of bias here. I think that Garrett Wilson is the best receiver in this draft, best complete receiver. Yeah. I think the value he has on every single thing you ask a receiver to do is extensive. it's extremely high. And so I would take Garrett. I don't know that Garrett Wilson will be available at 13. If he goes and runs a 4.4 the way he can and jumps 42 inches. And I mean, some of the stuff that I think he's capable of doing at the combine, I think he's a top 10 pick. You look at what Ja'Marr Chase is doing in Cincinnati. And I think Garrett is, his value is insane for an NFL team. Great kid. I mean, NFL body, all the measurables, all the intangibles, and the film. He has the game film, right? Dating back to his freshman year. He came in his freshman year and made some spectacular plays in the college football playoff. Like, that is so rare for an 18-year-old to be that ready to, in a game like that against Clemson, go make some of the catches that he made. And so I think Garrett is wide receiver one, but I don't think you could go wrong with Chris Olave or Jameson Williams. I really don't. Jameson Williams is a skill set that is extremely rare. And you look at some of the guys in the NFL right now, the Justin Jeffersons of the world, you know, some of the CD Lamb and Garrett Wilson are very similar, if kind of switching back to topics, but his name just popped in my head and they remind me of each other. So, but I don't think the Browns or anyone in the top 15 could go wrong with either of those three kids. And I need to dive into the receiver class outside of those three, but I honestly didn't see a receiver play at that level on film this year. David Bell's a really good player. I think Jahan Dotson will be an NFL receiver, but I don't think those guys are top 15 picks. And you know, there's other ones out there, but right. I would say Garrett, if Garrett's available at 13, I'm firing. And I don't know that. I mean, I think the Browns could use another receiver, but their issue is not receiver. Donovan Peoples-Jones has been playing great. Jarvis Landry is obviously a really, really good player. I think they could look to go elsewhere. I mean, their quarterback situation is the biggest issue they have right now. So I don't know if they can address that in free agency. We know they're not going to get Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers or anyone like that. Honestly, if they want to go the Kareem Hunt route and pick up Deshaun Watson and pray for the best, I think that's a good move. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with his legal proceedings. And I'm not saying that he is a good guy. I don't know. You know, I of all people, am not going to judge him based on accusations. But, I mean, that's a guy you could pick up in free agency and, you know, a little risk. You could probably not pay him that much money and see how the legal proceedings turn out, see what realities come out. And if it turns out that he's innocent or, you know, gets through those charges, then you could have a potential Pro Bowler at quarterback, and it's an entirely different team. So I think they need to address quarterback first, still have some defensive spots. I think a linebacker would be huge, probably not in the first round that high. I go Garrett Wilson or try to figure out if you can get some value out of that 13 pick and trade down to get a linebacker and some other draft picks or a veteran or something. You know, they're in a great spot because they don't need a top five pick. It's not time to go get a rookie quarterback, especially in this class that is so weak at quarterback. I think next year's the quarterback class that people will be, you know, drooling over. So that's my opinion. I'd go Garrett Wilson right there at 13.
Okay, well, that's fair. I thought you were going to say Jameson Williams, so I was kind of prepping like a counter argument to go against you.
Switched it up on you.
You did switch it up on me. And what I was going to say was this. A lot of times I think people confuse production and traits and what translates to the NFL when talking about like what ends up, you know, being kind of the go-to receiver. I think Garrett Wilson is going to be a top eight pick. I think he's that good. And I think if he is available at 13, if you're the Browns, you fire on him before that clock. He goes 5 seconds in. That's how talented I think Garrett Wilson is. And I think that the way Ja'Marr Chase has been playing only elevates the value of Garrett Wilson. I love Jameson Williams. I think Jameson Williams is incredible. I love Chris Olave. Obviously, I put him on my Buckeye Mount Rushmore over a guy like David Boston, who I probably should have put on there. But when I do my one through four is what I'll do. So I have Garrett Wilson as my wide receiver one, Jameson Williams as my wide receiver two, Drake London as my wide receiver three, and then Olave as wide receiver four. And here's why. Because in the NFL, if you look at the NFL's best receivers, Jameson Williams definitely the fastest of the group and the most explosive. But in the NFL's top receivers, a lot of it is about like creating separation and combat catches. Like, can you make really tough catches? And Garrett Wilson has shown that one thing that he's never had a difficult problem with is difficult catches and combat catches. Another thing is I like guys that can play inside and out and are really precise with route running. James Williams has greatly improved. I just think Garrett Wilson is better. And because of that, when you look at the league's best receivers and the league's young great receivers, you see guys like Ja'Marr Chase, and I think Garrett Wilson has a similar skill set. Guys like you said, CeeDee Lamb, I'm kind of that same deal. And then also, I mean, if you look at a guy who's kind of had an incredible season and speed is not one of his top traits, it's been about hands and about precision and about creating space from, you know, every receiver position on the field, it's Cooper Kupp. I mean, Cooper Kupp's a guy that doesn't have, you know, great athletic traits. He is fast. He is 6'2", so he's a little bit bigger. But it's about precision route running, and I think that that is what Garrett Wilson has. So I think that Garrett Wilson will be a top eight pick and will be an immediate impact guy. And selfishly, because of that, I don't trust him to go to the Browns and be as successful as he was like somewhere else, just straight up. Like the same way I didn't like I didn't want Michael Thomas to go to the Browns because I was worried about the Browns because – they tend to find a way to mess something up one way or another. And yeah, so
they really do. So I'm looking at this mock draft on CBS Sports right now. They have Garrett Wilson going at 12 to the Vikings opposite Justin Jefferson, which would be unbelievable for him. He obviously needs a quarterback in Minnesota, but, but you know that they have Garrett at 12, Olave at 13 to the Browns, and then Jameson Williams at 15 to the Saints. Which, man, that would just go to reinforce my opinion that they're both all three top 15 picks. And the next receivers taken are David Bell at 27 to the Cowboys. And then there's one other one. Where is he? Oh, I'm sorry. David Bell's, at 27 to the Cowboys. And then Drake London, the USC receiver, at 25 to the Bills. And Treylon Burks, the receiver from Arkansas, at 24 to the Cardinals. So that's, what, six receivers in the first round, which is a high number for receivers. So That's about what I see. I see those three as top 15 picks, and then I think there's the next tier down or late first, early second round guys. And but I think this is just first of all just crazy that three receivers I recruited are going to go in the top 15 if that holds true. That's fucking wild. But I think they have them pegged right. I think Jameson and Chris are pretty interchangeable, similar skill sets. And then Garrett is kind of a different breed at receiver because of what you already said. He's just a more complete receiver, got better ball skills, and he's the kid that's going to go make the catches we watched Ja'Marr Chase make on Sunday. I mean, he's going to make those contested catches that are just, you just go, whoa, how did he come down with that ball?
And that's so important because in the NFL, you're never open.
You got to be open with ball reception, with ball skills.
Exactly. And
I did think it was interesting that Aiden Hutchinson is projected to go second to the Lions. Second overall pick ahead of Kayvon Thibodeau, ahead of, you know, everyone we just talked about.
I think Kayvon Thibodeau is a monster, so that would be a mistake to me. But and also with Garrett Wilson in particular, one thing that last point on him, like the off the field stuff, I love the competitive toughness. I love kind of one thing he said when he was in high school that really caught my attention when I was, you know, used to go through these deep dives. A reporter asked him about, like, do you feel like there's a target on your back for being a five-star? And does it bother you? And his response was, obviously there's a target on my back. I'm a five-star. But at the same time, I compete like I'm going up against a five-star every single week. And I think that that's so important. I love that competitive toughness and edge from, you know, young kid. And you can see he played with that going all the way up through. So I think Garrett Wilson is going to be a really special wide receiver. And it wouldn't surprise me if he was one of the league's best within the first 3 years.
There's no doubt. I think there's no such thing as a surefire pick, draft pick. But I think he's as close to one as you could have.
Right, pretty darn close. I do want to talk about one last NFL thing. The MVP stuff, the MVP voting. So Aaron Rodgers has put together an incredible season, and now you've got reporters coming out saying they won't vote for Aaron Rodgers because he's a jerk. And this sucks because, like, in the grand scheme of things, some NFL incentives, like getting guys money, is based on winning some accolades, Zach. How big of an issue is this, and do you think they switch up the voting period?
This is an issue at every level of football in every aspect. I mean, we already talked about it with the Heisman Trophy voting, Blitnikoff voting, anything that's voted on. It's voted on by media members, and it's become kind of a badge of it's like a media credential. Like, you're in sports media, well, you have to do whatever you can to get a Heisman vote so that people know you're a Heisman voter. And so they give out these, I guess the voting rights to people that have no business voting. And Aaron Rodgers said it best. He was like, I don't know why, you know, someone that would make a statement like that, why they would be allowed to vote on the MVP, because clearly they're not voting on the most valuable player. As he said, they're voting on the most valuable vaccinated player. And that's not what the award is. You know, Aaron Rodgers chose not to get vaccinated. You can disagree with that. You can hate him for it. You can think it's bullshit. But don't say he's not the most valuable player in the NFL because of that. That has nothing to do with who the most valuable player on the field is in 2021, 2022. Like, it's just, it's absurd. It's absurd that that's even a conversation, unless that is what we're doing. And then say it. Come out and say, listen, the MVP, here's the criteria, voters. We need, the person needs to be vaccinated. And they need to not have caught COVID or whatever. Just spell it out. Let everyone know what it is. Because some of these people that get to vote on the Heisman, they get to vote on NFL MVP, they get to vote on the Biletnikoff, the Doak Walker, et cetera, et cetera. They're completely and entirely unqualified. There needs to be an aptitude test, football aptitude test. Like, if I put a clip on of a coverage, you should be able to tell me very elementary what coverage that is. And if you can't, how can you evaluate a player, right? It's like a receiver that doesn't get open against cover three, and you watch the film and you're like, the corner bailed because he has deep third and he played with so much depth, the receiver couldn't run by him. A dumbass sports media personality is going to look at it and be like, man, look, he's covered. And you're like, what the fuck does that matter? Of course he's covered. That defensive scheme, he couldn't get open. Right. But there's no baseline for college, for football knowledge, for people that are voting on awards. Like, it's just absurd. And like you said, there's NFL money, contract, performance incentives. There, you know, not only that, but kids, like the best running back in the country deserves the Doak Walker Award. So people that know about running back play and can evaluate it should vote on it, not some fucking slapdick from ESPN or CBS Sports who doesn't know shit about run game.
No, you're 100% right, and it's really frustrating, especially because, like, you know, I used to think the NBA was the worst about this, because you had, like, after James Harden won an MVP, you had, like, reporters saying, like, oh, like, finally got that out of the way, we can wash our hands of it, because he kept finishing second, and it's obviously like, okay, you don't like him, but he's, you know, destroying teams day in and day out. And with this whole Aaron Rodgers thing, it feels like that. It's like, well, you know, he's already got this, this, and this. We don't really like him. He's a jerk to us. He's not vaccinated. He's this, he's that. You know, he rubs us the wrong way, so we're just not going to vote for him. As soon as a reporter opens their mouth about who they're not voting for and why, if it's a reason like that, like, oh, because Aaron Rodgers is a jerk to me, his vote should be pulled right away, just straight up.
Immediately.
Yeah, just right away. No questions asked, just gone.
I mean, if you come out and say, you know what, Aaron Rodgers in the two biggest games of the year threw two interceptions and didn't play at an elite level, you're like, okay, well, that makes sense. That's a reason not to vote him. But this bullshit about, I mean, he was an asshole, he was selfish, it's like, what does that have to do with, he's a quarterback and we're evaluating him in between the white lines. We're not evaluating him when he goes home. Like, does he drink too much? Like, who gives a fuck? Right. I used to talk about Ezekiel Elliott all the time. Like, Zeke used to go out on Thursday nights, game week. I mean, he used to go out hard, but it's like, all right, he comes in Friday, bright eyed, looks good, you know, locked in, prepares for the game, goes out on Saturday and balls, plays his ass off, and is playing at an extremely high level. Like, who are you to tell him don't go out on Thursday night? It's not affecting him, right? It's not affecting his performance. And it has,
like,
nothing
to plug this into regular life. Like, what if you were the top salesman of your company? And someone said, oh, we can't give you salesman of the month because you cheat on your wife.
Right.
It's like, what does that have to do with me performing at a high level?
Right. Is this a character award or is this a performance award? And if you have to have impeccable character also, like, I've said it 100 times. All right. Let's dive through everyone's character then. Like, all right. Who's next on the list behind Aaron Rodgers on the MVP list? Let me go investigate their personal life, because they might be out, you know, doing cocaine off of stripper's titties. You don't know. You have no idea. Right. They might be living a fucking degenerate life and you just don't know about it yet. So are we doing that? Are we investigating people's personal lives when it comes to sports performance? Because if we are, let's be consistent now. Don't do this bullshit like just Aaron Rodgers or just, you know, whoever, pick a player, right? It's nuts. It's nuts.
It would get ugly real quick. It would get real ugly.
And it's nuts that these people are allowed to vote and allowed to have a voice. Like, who gave them a voice? right? Exactly. Just because, and that's, I think that's my biggest problem with sports media. It's a lot different than this, what we are doing here at Menace to Sports, right? Like I am building this platform and people, it will either grow or it will diminish based on, do people enjoy listening to the show, right? Mm-hmm. Do they enjoy my take on things? Do they enjoy our morning show and what we say? This is not something that is going to have good numbers and do well because it is on Fox Sports Radio and people just have the radio on and it's just on as kind of white noise in the background.
People sat, like, we're not like what we say on here is not affecting other people's pockets.
No, I mean, and even if it did, it would at least be merit-based, right? Mm-hmm. You throw some slapdick on Fox Sports Radio or not. That's a bad, ESPN Radio is a much better example. I actually like most of the people on Fox Sports on TV and on the radio. So you throw some slapdick on ESPN Radio, he's going to get decent numbers because it's fucking ESPN Radio, right? It doesn't mean that employee of built. ESPN mm-hmm. has a valid opinion, analysis, voice, analytic voice in sports. It's just nuts.
So it's frustrating. We'll see how it goes. I think that Aaron Rodgers probably deserves the MVP, but I'll have to dig into it a little bit more before I make statements like that. But Zach, I have nothing else for today. How about you?
No, I'm good to go. I appreciate everybody listening. So we got today the college football playoff preview show this afternoon and then morning show tomorrow, Spaces tomorrow at 3 on Twitter. If you haven't yet, follow Menace to Sports on Twitter and click the bell so you know when we're going on Spaces. We will be there 3 o'clock on Friday. And that's it. That's all I got. So we'll see you guys tomorrow. Menace out.
Menace out.